Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all of my sweet, wonderful people out there that keep me straight. And I praise you for it, Father. All my beautiful assistants. And we thank you for it, Father. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for, we invite you to come on in and help us out, Lord. Not only help us out, just be with us. Grab our hands and lead us around, Lord, and we thank you for that. We praise you, Father, for everything that you're doing in our lives. You're getting us ready. And I praise you for that. Lord, I thank you that everybody here is encouraging all around them to stay with you and to stay and not to get distracted. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. We're in a critical time now to hit this thing running when the time comes. And we praise you, Lord, that you're doing that in all of us. Nobody is going to get left behind, as they say. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, we invite him to come in and fill us up completely, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, with the gifts in operation. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. And we thank you, Father, that you are the one that are leading us out into this world with all the things that we need, the wisdom, the discernment, the gifts, and all of those things that are going to bring revival to us. And we praise you for it, Father. And that we will be that light on the hill, that lamp on the table. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Tonight, Lord, I ask and I pray that you lead us into what we were talking, what we, wanted to talk about tonight, and that is prayer. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do in us tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Nobody? Yeah, Missy, go ahead. Just go ahead and speak up. I'm trying to get something here.
Well, I'm not quite sure how to pray about this.
Or try English.
Funny. That's the only language I know other than my prayer
Okay.
language.
All right.
I could do that. Y'all
All right.
wouldn't know. Anyway, although somebody might be able to interpret. Anyway, Merle is leaving Saturday morning to go to a church conference in Cleveland, Ohio, which he does at least twice a year, about twice a year. And he won't be back till Monday afternoon. And I just want to thank you and praise you, Lord, that you will see to it, because we know things are getting so close to things happening, Lord, that he will never go to another one of them, and you will bring him out. He'll hear you clearly, come out from among them and be separate and be not yoked to unbelievers. And he will hear things and see things, and you'll be working in his heart, Lord, and he will know that he cannot stay there anymore, Lord. That he can no longer stay in the midst, Lord. And he'll have a great heart of repentance for whatever it is he needs to repent of being there and staying there for so long, Lord. He's heard a lot of truth, and I thank you, Lord, that there's been a lot of seeds planted. He's heard lots of Bible studies over the years, and I thank you, Lord, that those seeds are going to take root, sprout, and grow quickly, Lord, in his heart, Lord, and overcome all these doctrines of demons, Lord, that he's been taught, Lord, and he knows the truth, and the truth has set him free in the mighty name of Jesus. And he's a mighty man of God, and he's healed, delivered, and blessed, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, that he's a mighty man of God and free in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Has he already left?
No, he's leaving Saturday morning.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Thank
Yeah,
the Lord
Julie.
for safe travels there and back.
Did you want to pray, Julie?
Yeah, I want to add something a little bit. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for Missy's faith, and I agree with everything she prayed. And I just want to add, Lord, that because you've given Merle knowledge, because those seeds have been planted, and Merle has a good and honest heart, and I thank you, Lord, that you'll give him a spirit of boldness and confidence, just to either just to speak what he knows and speak something contrary to what he's hearing and stand up, and that he'll have boldnesses to leave and just say whatever you put on his heart to say, and it'll give him a door out. And not that he has to make a spectacle or anything like that, but just that he'll be able to speak what he knows and believes in his heart to be true, because the power of God will just pour out upon him, and he will be speak as an oracle of God. And thank you, Lord, for pouring your Holy Spirit over Merle and into him, and giving him the grace and great favor there, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless them to do this, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that Missy's going to have rejoicing and praise all weekend, and just be speaking the good report all weekend, and expecting him to walk in the door early. Amen.
Amen. I also want to pray.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that Merle is delivered from rejection, condemnation, fear of man, man-pleasing spirits, false responsibility. Just he's delivered from all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy's broken off of him, and he's delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of your love, Lord. And all unholy soul ties are broken with any in that assembly, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Ben.
I've been having some car troubles lately. This has been a problem before, but the Lord took it out of my car. I think I know why he put it back. I was gonna go out today. I finished work early, and I was gonna go out today to go look at a truck to go buy one. And my car wouldn't start to go look at that truck, so now I'm thinking the Lord's put the curse back on it, so I think I might need some help from my brother in here to get it started again.
Okay,
So,
let's do something different. You want to do something different?
yes, sir.
Okay, let's do this. Lord, I'd like for you to send your own mechanic angels over there to fix his vehicle in a way that he'll understand that it is almost like new. And it'll be a great running. Is it a car or a truck?
It's a Jeep. Yeah. It's an
Well,
SUV.
that's the problem. But anyway, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that this Jeep is not under the curse, and we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that now is angel fixed, and when it's angel fixed, it overrides everything that the humans have messed up. And we praise you for it, Father. And we thank you that Ben is going to be so happy with this SUV, Lord. And I thank you for showing him that your angels can do that to your glory, Lord, and that he will give the glory to the Lord, and that he'll drive this vehicle as long as you want him to, in
Amen.
Jesus' name. If that's what you're doing, Lord, and I believe it is, and I thank you for being in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that. Lord of God, I do. I believe it. I believe your truck is going to be, it's going to run like it ought to, like it's supposed to. And that's
Amen.
good. And that's good. Thank you, Jesus. How old is he?
2017, 7, 8, 9, 10. So that's
Oh,
8 years.
that's doesn't have many miles on it, does it?
No, only 100,000 kilometers. I don't know how many miles that is.
That's less than 100,000 miles.
Yes.
I've got a Nissan Altima that my wife drove that has about 170,000 on it or something like that. It's a 2002 that I bought new back in 2000. Well, no, it's 2003. I bought in 2002. And it, God has blessed us with that car.
Praise
I've only
God.
had to put a wheel bearing in it one time. Yeah. So that's what's going to happen to this truck. Same thing. Same thing is going to happen to that truck. If everybody believes, everybody believes, don't they? Yeah, I
Amen.
can believe because I believe, but Ben's faith is going to hold him into it. Thank you, Father. All right, go ahead, Pat.
Father, we thank you for Merle's desire to continue on with you, to seek you. Thank you that you are going to bless him with your perspective. We just ask, Lord, that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit, that he would reach out to you, and that he would find that which is
Michelle
drawing him to
Hutchison.
you. And thank you for it, Lord. Just praise you. Thank you for filling us all with your Holy Spirit and giving us your perspective on this life and this process that you're taking us through into the fullness of Christ. And we thank you for it. We just thank you for that which you're doing in Merle, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Ben.
I'd also like to just add on for our family to get out of the whole denominational garbage. Lord, this is a prayer of faith that we're going to have for our family. Lord, we know that you deliver people. We know that you heal people and you pull these people out of the nations and you pull these people out of these lies that they've been listening to their whole lives. Father, whether it's Catholicism, Pentecostalism, Orthodoxy, Lord Father God, I rebuke all the works that these denominational factious sects have been doing to my family and my loved ones, all of our family, all of our loved ones, Father. I rebuke it down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Father God, I just pray a huge hunger just to search for you, not just look at words, but to look at the living word, Father, that lives through them, the word that cuts the soul and the spirit and the marrow and the bones. I'm not quoting it properly, Father, but we all know what we want. We all know what you want. Father, I just pray that this spirit falls upon them to just leave these factious people that want to just embolden themselves and want to embolden their religion. And I just pray that we come humbly to your spirit, to your word, and we thank you, Father, for it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of our families, bringing them to the truth of the gospel and to get out of the apostate religions. And we praise you for it, Father. Every single one of them that's in an apostate religion, we thank you, Father, that you're going to shake them into the truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? I think one of the most dangerous, two most dangerous doctrines that are out there, in my opinion, is that once saved, always saved, unconditional security, and pre-tribulation rapture. That's going to send a lot of people to hell. All right. I encourage them to read their Bible.
Well, at
Yeah,
least
dearly.
the preacher verse will get woken up anyway.
Yeah.
Repeat that, Matt. I didn't hear what you said.
But at least the preacher verse will get woken up anyways.
I was
Well,
thinking also the false revival movement and the
yeah.
Kundalinis and with all these, emotional and feeling and all that kind of stuff that
Yeah.
they're wanting something supernatural and that kind of thing. And that this word says, that he's going to send them a working of error, that that spirit of deception, a great working of error, and they're going to be deceived, a great deception. And I think also the whole AI thing and
Yeah.
CGI and that kind of thing, and what people are going to get caught up in stuff. And anyhow, and we just pray all of that down, Lord, that your elect, they may be deceived, because we've all been deceived about things until you gave us
Yeah.
light and granted us repentance. We're just believing that for all of our family members, and you protect them, Lord, from these false doctrines of demons and the lies and deceptions that the enemy would
Amen.
try to lure them away from the truth. And Lord, grant them grace with ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to really want the truth, and just a discernment from even what they know, that you would give them that discernment that, like, this just doesn't line up with the word somehow. And that they just not get caught up in all the internet platforms out there, that people can say anything they want and they have some truth and they're very charming and seductive and charismatic and it sounds good to their flesh. And we just bind all that up and speak failure to it in the name of Jesus. I thank you,
Amen.
Lord, for your grace and protection on your elect,
Amen.
God, from getting deceived by this. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Something else that I found out about yesterday or day before, someone was telling me about the black web, where these ladies are, and I call them that very loosely, these prostitutes are on there, and they somehow court, they get men in there, and they make money off of photos and that kind of stuff. And they are making absolutely multi-millions of dollars on this dark web. And Father, I ask and I pray that you bring it down to where it can't come back up again in the name of Jesus. That we curse that dark web or black web or ever what they call that thing that is tricking men to come and women to come in there and try to make money by selling their wares. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to shut it down. I ask the angels to go in there and shut that thing down in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Missy. Yeah, go ahead.
It's also used to look. It's also used to lure kids into sex trafficking and stuff like that. So
I didn't
we
know that.
yes, I agree 100% that no more, no, not another child will be lured by that, and no child will know how to get there, because it's, for one, like Michael's said, it's shut down in the name of Jesus. We send the
Yeah.
angels to shut it down and put it in out of order in the name of
Amen.
Jesus.
Put it
We
out of
thank you,
order where they
Lord, for
can't bring it back
delivery.
up again. Amen.
That's
Thank you,
right.
Missy. Amen. I'm sorry I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You have good bandwidth in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yes, I do. I have a strong, and it's quick. It's just lightning quick. Glory to God. When did you hear that? It's lightning quick. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Yes. You know, when they get this new internet system up, hopefully they'll monitor that kind of stuff and keep it off the web. Not hopefully, we're just going to pray that they do also. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Matt.
I wanted to share a testimony about
Yeah.
Shoshana. We've had some serious breakthrough, especially during the fast, with her and a spirit of rejection. And I think I was kind of, inadvertently kind of propagating a spirit of rejection in her, because she's so the opposite of me when I was a child. And I was a very good child, a star student in
Of
school.
course.
My parents would look at me and I would never do it again. I never needed to get spanked, really. I mean, there was a few times I probably should have got spanked, but most of the time, I was just that type of child. Anyways, I never asked for anything. And then there's Shoshana. And I was such a tomboy, and she's just as girly as she could be and manipulative. And she likes to like come up to people and be like, please, please, please.
Yes,
And
she does.
it kind of got on my nerves a little bit. Like, she's like too cutesy, and like she loves attention. And anything to be cute and make herself the center of attention. And it was kind of getting on my nerves, like, who is this child? Like, she couldn't have been mine, And I was feeling like kind of frustrated with her. And also, I know that to some extent, okay, when we're worshiping, you stop trying to get attention. Don't get all the attention for yourself. There's certain boundaries, obviously. But I was just kind of frustrated with her. And I think she's probably sensing it, although I was trying not to be frustrated with her. But the Lord told me, just enjoy her. And I was like, okay, I'm not even sure what that means, but okay. And I started just thinking about like how cute and funny she is when she does some of that stuff. Like, she'll do something funny and then she'll, and like she's so funny. And I just hadn't
See
really noticed it before. She's so cute and she's so funny. And she just like I just started enjoying the funny little things she does. I mean, she just turned 3, so I can't it's not like I can expect that much. Most of what she does is just, her nature, her personality. And like I said, there still has to be boundaries and everything. But I just started enjoying her, and I was like, okay, and I was coming against the spirit of rejection. Matthew and I had prayed together, and not receiving it when I'd see it on her, no, I don't receive that. But during the fast, we just had like this breakthrough, and she just one day she just woke up different. She just came up and got in my lap and was cuddling with me and just acting totally different. She wasn't constantly frustrated and screaming at the top of her lungs about everything like she was. She used to like to, she'd start out her sentences by screaming. And I, I'd have to tell her, no. If you want me, you need to say mama. But she would just start with screaming. She wouldn't, even work her way up a lot of times. And she just, that's pretty much gone. We're having problems with getting her to be night trained because she's been potty trained for quite some time, but she was still wetting the bed. So I had her in a diaper. And she's been doing so great on, not wetting the bed at all anymore. And just very sweet, way less screaming, way more responsive to the correction that I'm giving her. And I just know it was all the Lord, because like I didn't even know what to do. And just praise God, like she's delivered and she's like a new Shoshana. And I feel like I'm even new in a lot of ways. So praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, she is a hoot now. She's funny. She does all kinds of little antics that just, I can't help it. I have to just burst out laughing. Oh, my. Kind of reminds me, though, when she does come against you, that thing I saw on Instagram. Y'all ever seen that? Where this, you see this young girl, looks like she's about 8 or 10 years old. And she said, "You need to get your butt over here and get my phone and take it over there and put it," talking to her grandmother, "put it in the on the charger. Next thing you see is black. Just black." And next thing you see is grandmother leaning over and said, "Okay, honey," said, "I'm from the old school." And she's coming awake because mama done, mamaw done slapped her. And real cool. I said, "Now, we'll go over there and get a Coke and a Pepsi here directly, but you got to understand a couple of things now. You got to do what I ask you to do." But anyway, it's really pretty cool. Go ahead, Julie. You ever seen it, Julie?
Yeah, I've seen it a couple of times. It is pretty funny. Yeah, you did a pretty good job explaining that too. You're narrating it. Yeah, you can almost envision it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, Matthew and Anna, that's great about Shoshana. My older sister grew up with Mark, Larry, Stephen, three older brothers and a younger brother before I came along. So all she had was brothers to play with, and she was very much tomboy. And so for Shoshana to act very girly like that, that's a neat thing. That is a good thing. So just want to encourage you with that. So not that a tomboy is bad, but we're different. We're meant to be girls. So that's precious.
Yeah, so shiny is. She's different than the boys, a lot different than the boy. All right, anyone else? I was kind of like Anna. I never got in any trouble either. I always did everything mom and dad told me to do. I spent most of my time on the front stairway or in the corner. All right, next. Debbie Finsky, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Did you want to pray for what you put on the deal here earlier?
I was going to leave it just for that.
I'm sorry.
I thought I would just leave it just at that for the signal.
Okay. I don't
She
know. I
didn't
don't.
want to share it here. In other words, she just wanted to leave it there.
Okay, that's fine. I said, Lord, we just put our faith with Debbie and believe it's done
Yes.
in Jesus' name.
Thank
Thank you,
you.
Father.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, y'all ready for some good music? Good Christian music? Okay, good deal. We are fixing to get some.
How you all doing here in England and in Jamaica? So now I gotta take you to my home. And I'm gonna show you how we do it in Perfecting Church in Detroit, Michigan. Where the pastor and founder is Marvin L. Winans. My Lord, my God. So we sing a song and it simply goes.
One, two. Three, four.
Hail Jesus,
you're
my
my
King.
Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Your life frees me to sing.
Your life frees me to sing.
I will praise you all my day.
I will praise you all my day.
You're perfect in all your ways.
Your kingdom come.
God, I will
And the good song coming on right behind it too. Thank you, Lord. I started letting it play. All right. That thing said it had the lyrics in it, but it didn't have the lyrics in it. It's crazy. Okay. Anybody got anything?
That was a little bit slower rendition too than the other one. It was a little bit slower pace.
I don't know my end.
Okay, I thought it sounded a little bit slower.
Well, it could have been. A little bit. Then what's that girl? That Mullins girl sings.
Yeah,
I think she sings that same thing.
Yep.
Oh, it might be. Good song. I don't know.
Still a good song.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, did anybody get a chance to look at the verses that I put up in the UBM Fellowship and meditate on them and find out what the deal is here? What's he talking about? Pat, did you see it? Okay, good. I know Andrew saw it. Yeah. Okay, I'll just read it. I'll put it in the chat there. And the reason I put it up there is I'll tell you here in a minute. Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thine inner chamber, and having shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret. And thy Father who seeth in secret shall recompense thee. And in praying, use not vain repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things ye have need of before you ask them. Okay, the reason I said that, I have seen in the past, and I'm not saying it was here or in the local or what, but I have seen in the past people seemingly tag team each other. You know what I'm saying when I say tag team each other? They'll pray, and then somebody else will pray, and that same one somebody, when they quit, the same one somebody went the first time, prays again, and it's just back and forth, back and forth. And I've seen that a number of times. And also, and I'm not criticizing, I'm just wanting to get things straight as far as your faith goes when you pray. When you pray, what does it say? It says you pray and believe that it's already been done. It's already been done. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things, that's everything that you pray, whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that ye received them and you shall have them. And what he's talking about there is you can pray and you can believe that you've already received it. And it's a faith principle. That's that faith principle we all know about. We've learned it from David. We've learned it from other people. Kenneth Hagin, all of those kind of faith people. And we have to, now the other key thing is after you pray is you have to speak in agreement with your prayers every day, all day. And you have to control the words that come out of your mouth. You can have whatever you say. That's what he said. You shall have whatsoever he saith. For all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them and you shall have them. When you speak against what you say and prayed, you've already negated what you prayed. And that's sometimes I think that people like to hear themselves pray a lot. And I'm not even suggesting that anybody in here, it's just for the whole outreach out there that's listening. Okay, Andrew.
When you warned us on Signal that you were going to have this meeting Thursday, I think it was even before Tuesday. And I was listening to a Bible study, and the prayers was from 6:6 of Matthew, and of course yours started at 6:7, but he went into the 6:7 and 6:8 and some others while the thing came up. So I'm just verifying this, that when you the thing went poop poop on my phone there and told me we were going to do this, I went, now that's not coincidence. So I think the Lord really wants
it,
to concentrate and really wants to be very, very diligent in these things. And remember authority, that you have
Amen.
Authority. Amen. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, Luke 10:19. You got that authority. Okay, Julie.
Well, I was meditating on that after, you posted it, and I went over and read it, and I just kind of read the verse above it too, about, be not like the hypocrites that stand on the street corners and all that, because they want to be seen. They want to be seen, they want the approval of man too. I was looking at that verse as well, and wanting a reward for their, look at me. It's all about attention on me. But then I was, looking at and meditating on what does it mean for vain repetitions. Well, vain is empty, it's nothing. And repetitions is like you're repeating yourself over and over and over. And so I was thinking about, I grew up in a Lutheran church, and I remember, we recited a lot of familiar prayers, like the Lord's Prayer. We recited that. We also recited the Creed every Sunday, and I can't remember all the things, but it was like formalities. It was like these things you did because you had to do them. And what's opposite of vain repetitions would be something that's sincere from your heart, that you're praying to God as his child, Father, this is my need, or this is my concern, this is what's on my heart. So it's kind of like it's the opposite. And then I was thinking, like a lot of the, I think they all do, but the Catholics have the rosary prayer. They have all the rosary beads and stuff, and I've never really looked at that, but I just searched it, for that. What is the rosary, and what are the prayers? And it's just all, once the Lord's Prayer, but it's just different things. And it's like, where's, and it's something they repeat over and over and over. And then it's, a lot of, the Hail Marys and all this other stuff. And I'm like, wow. So to me, not that they're Gentiles, but it's Gentile. It's like there's no sincerity in that. It's just it's a formality. It's just something you pray because that's what you were taught and that's what you're given, some outline formula. Well, it's not even outline. It's like these are their prayers. I don't know if they know how to pray anything else. I don't know, because I've never gone to one of their services or anything like that. I don't know that they, being with the Catholic, if I was to pray with somebody who had that faith, that denominational faith, whatever you want to call it, that's what they believe. If you were to pray with them, if I was to pray with somebody like that, how they would be able to receive, and would they be able to pray something other than what they know? It's like they're caught in that ignorance, I guess, because of religion. It's a religious spirit and they don't know any better. But then I have also prayed with a man who is, he has Catholic background, but I believe he's spirit filled, and I do believe he prays from the heart and stuff, and he agrees with prayers that I pray with them. This is somebody I used to work with, and so I'm not trying to generalize that, but because everyone, God knows where everyone's at. But that's just kind of what I was thinking about. What is vain repetitions? It's vanity. It's empty, and you're just repeating yourself. And that's where I was coming from when I was talking about that.
Amen. That's I was in a Boy Scouts, and in the Boy Scouts, one year, one summer, our scoutmaster said, "Well, let's all go to each other's church every Sunday. We'll go to a different church in the thing." Went to a church, and I'm not going to say the name of it, but it scared me to death. It was I came from a very liberal Protestant church that didn't believe in the Holy Spirit and that kind of thing. Was brought up in it. Loved the people. The people were kind and all that kind of stuff. Then we go to this church, and the first thing that happens with us boys, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, and this preacher comes up from the back, and somebody yells something, and he's in robes. He's in all these pretty little robes and things. And he comes marching down, screaming something, and then he gets up on the podium up there, and he takes out a book and reads a prayer out of it. I've never seen anybody read a prayer out of a book, for the take, because they always just, even in our church, they would just come out with a prayer. And I said, "What is it?" And that's just religion. Is what. Like Julie was talking about, it's just religion. But it scared me because I wasn't used to that loud screaming coming in behind me. Anyway, go ahead, Debbie. You got to unmute yourself.
I didn't mean to put my hand up, so that's interesting.
Hey, what's up?
I know I thought I was going to say something earlier, and
oh, okay.
Anyway, I didn't mean to click it on, so sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. Just don't ever do it again. I'm just saying. Okay. Anybody? Anybody else? Now, I've seen this, and the reason this is one of the reasons I wanted to bring this up. I've seen in settings years ago, somebody would be praying, and it would be a good prayer, and then somebody else right behind them would say a prayer, and those two, and right after she'd get this one to get done, this other one would come right back with another prayer. And he'd go back and forth like that a number of times. And I never did understand that. And it just didn't make any sense to me. And it, what I thought might be happening, well, it seemed to me, and this is just Michael thinking, that, well, bless God, I can do one better than that. And here she goes, you know, or they go, whoever. And then the other one is saying, oh, bless God, watch this one. Bam, you know. And she goes, or they go. And then it's back and forth like that a half a dozen times. I have actually seen it like that. And that's just, that's not God-like. Go ahead, Missy. Have y'all ever seen that? Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, what came to me about the vain repetitions is, and that they think that God will hear them for their much speaking. Well, that's lack of faith. That's why they repeat it so much. You know? And so, forget what I was going to say, but
praise God.
But anyway,
I didn't say nothing. I don't know what you're laughing about. Quit Stop that.
Anyway, so yeah, I mean, you don't have, it's like begging God, you know, on one hand, you don't have to beg God, you know, repeating the same thing over and over, you know. He, like it says, he knows what you need before you even ask. And my thought is, you know, after you ask him, all you do is just praise him and thank him and believing that you've received. And, you know, like you were saying, you know, only speak according to what you prayed, you know. Don't speak against what you prayed.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And look, I don't have a problem. You personally praying, you know, again for something that's, you've been praying for and believing for again the next day or whatever. I don't have a problem with that. It's in a setting where you get this back and forth banter that seems to be going forth. And also, I believe that you ought to, if your faith wanes because of sin in the flesh, that you could pray again and reinforce it and keep going on with it. Remember what and Real Good News, David talks about it real good. He talks about he doesn't David doesn't come with the knowledge that you say it one time, you don't never pray it again. He doesn't believe that. He believes that we can pray, and if we see in the flesh, if you pray again, we're up in our faith to believe that it's going to happen. When you confess it again, I thank you, Lord, that my prayer is answered, glory to God. Or we can say, all right, best God, in the name of Jesus, I command whatever it is in Jesus' name. And from this point on, I'm going to confess that it's done in Jesus' name. You can do that. That's not unbiblical. It's to build your faith up. But there's also the prayer of faith, as David talks about, that you say it, you believe it, and you stand on it, and you're doing your faith to the end. What end of what? That's the end of manifestation. Okay, Julie, go ahead.
No, the other thing that was just coming to me as y'all were talking was, since God already knows what we need, that we can come to him and ask him anything. And but then there's I remember being it, and I think we all were there until we learned how to pray, with faith and stuff, because that's not anything you just, I don't think it's anything anyone just has. It's something we learn. You have to learn how to pray, what that is. And I thank God that we've been taught that. But the other thing is, and I saw that a lot in the church I was at before I came here, was praying for something desperate, somebody's sick, somebody dying, and then and if it be thy will, God, save them, heal them, if it be thy will. They always end with that, and it's like, and then when I learned what that meant, it's like, wow, and that's a vain request, that's a vain speaking, because they don't understand what God's will is. They're not even understanding that, when you read the script, what is it to be, praying is something that we know that's God's will. And that's something that, people need to understand too. And I pray, because I've been there at some point too. We all have, I guess, is we don't know what God's will is about something. And but just be gracious with people when they do pray like that, and maybe help them just to understand, well, that God, I think it is God's will, and this is why I believe it's God's will. So we can pray and ask God for something and believe it in his hand, put it in his hand. It's like, why be anxious for anything? In all prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't say that anywhere, So anyhow, that was something else that was coming to my mind about being a vain repetition. It's just praying with unbelief, if it be your will. How can you pray something and say, well, if it's your will, God, do it? Well.
That's right. You got to speak the right confession every day. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
When it comes to that will, we know that the will is part of the name. And sometimes, even just, I'm just going to make this statement that we are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be immersed in that. So we want we want to say by faith that we are a son of God, but we're not exactly manifesting it yet, and Paul went to Rome in the first chapter. It says to give a gift, to give a some fruit too, right in the first chapter. He wanted to add some stuff to the people, like he did in all the other. This is the last place he's visiting, so he knew the prayers that he was supposed to say. And I just wanted to stress that that your name has a nature, character, and authority to it. It's not you. It's, you were raised up with him, and you're in the newness of life. You're the new man now, and that's who's praying. And we need to pray that way. We need to believe that way. We were crucified with him. The prayer of faith. The faith is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when we pray, we don't leave the names out of these three that are with us. The Holy Spirit is going to remind you. He's going to tell you what to pray for too. And is it any wonder that at the back of Colossians, Paul asks for an open door? Why would Paul ask for an open door from his buddies, around him? And so there's a lot to prayer. There is so many scripture verses on how one prayer, then two prayers set off 10,000, and it increments go up from there. When you pray the word of God, you know, it's God breathed. So if it's God breathed, then it's of his spirit, and it's of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, and it's in that authority. It has to be in that. There's power to the Lord's word. You know the verse. I mean, the two famous verses in Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17 speaks of power. And we all love the verse that Peter says about it in 2 Peter 1 and 3 and 4. You know, since his divine power hath given to us all faith. I think sometimes you got to take some of these Christians that speaking from experience that have not really been taught anything, you got to take them inside and take each word apart. Then they might be totally shocked that they're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, what are you talking about? You know, is Paul crazy here? You know, raised up with him? And how, Paul, you're still here. How can you be raised with him? And, you know, you say there's people out there who say they read the Bible and they say, I don't understand this. So where's the understanding? Where's the understanding? Now, we remember the person in the first land in the parable of the sower. They lacked understanding. But the person in the last land in the parable of the sower, he had understanding. So understanding is a light in you. And let the light grow. Let the Lord, you know, there's no darkness in our Father. In him, there's no darkness at all. He's light. And if he's light, it'd be so much better if he made all mankind with a flashlight in their forehead. You'd be able to go everywhere then. But, you know, I'm not saying this to be funny, but in Genesis, where was the light if the sun, moon, and stars were made on a different day when he said, let there be light? Anyway, we're supposed to be imitating God our Father and his Son. So the faithfulness of our prayers come from the Father and are given to us, just as it says, I want to have a real good prayer life. And 1 John 5 and 14 says, and this is the boldness which we have toward God. I changed the hymn because it sounds better. Towards God, that we ask, that if we ask anything according to God's will, you know, that will is in the Lord's Prayer too. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You can't pray if it's your will. Most people even pray that song and then they don't know that it's his will. Thy will be done. You know, and according to God's will, he heareth us. And if we know that God heareth us whatsoever, I put that in brackets. We ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of God. So we know that we have the petitions asked of God. Whatsoever is not a whosoever, and it brings forth sanctification. It brings forth fruit. It brings forth an activeness of God through you. And pretty soon you might get a gift or fruit from this. And this is why he encourages you to pray without ceasing, because if he says that, then we need to have faith that we could do that. But you know, we need encouragement, and the encouragement is there. Some of it was already said in Philippians chapter 4. You know, right from the beginning. I'm just going to look in my other Bible here. And you know, even the verses that we're studying from end up at 6 and 9, our Father. You know, fathers are great providers. But in Philippians chapter 4, I got part of this written in the kitchen, but it even starts right from 4 and 1, and then there's, they entitle it exhortation, encouragement, and prayer. All the way to 4 and 9, and then the next title is God's provision. And it's a really good thing, you know. In nothing be anxious, but in everything. Even when he addresses Euodia and Syntyche, those names mean something. And it's a fragrance and success and a fortunate accident. And Syntyche is the fortunate. Even Clement is kind and merciful. So, you know, in this aspect of prayer, you know, he's telling them to be of the same mind in the Lord. And this is why when we pray, we agree in prayer. Because it's a greater prayer. It's a prayer of community, of togetherness. We're all one body anyway, and one spirit, and one hope of the hope of our calling, and one Lord, and one faith, and one baptism, and one God and Father, who is over all, in all, and through all. So, you know, those verses that says that you have God the Almighty inside of you, well, you know, does he have to drown you when he baptizes you to partake of his immersion in the Father? And he tells you to imitate God as beloved children and walk in love. So in whom we have boldness and access with confidence unto his faith for Jesus. So the faithfulness is a prayer of faith, but it's not your existence. It's your new man. I don't know how else to stress that. And if you're in a battle and it's lasting too long, I'd say you keep going. Because if you get the victory, you get the victory. If you can't take it anymore, you ask for help. But you'll still end up with the victory. But I think you'd have something better if it's just you. And it's kind of scary sometimes being alone, but if you pray for something and it takes years for it to happen, look how long Abraham had to wait. And I'm just in I just would want you to be encouraged to be encouraged with these verses here, like they entitled it in chapter 4 of Philippians. It's a good book. Like, it's a great encouragement even to read 3 and 2. I mean, it. What does it say? For something to be grasped at? When Jesus spoke, and we had to be grasped in Philippians, that we have to also grasp that we have an equality with God. Well, who were you baptized into? Come on, you know, we want to be immersed, not just in the blood of this Christ, but in the Father and in the Holy Spirit, because we need the Holy Spirit to help us live this life. So, that said, you know, we want these manifestations. And the Father is sent his Son so that we can have them all. So, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. So I'm quitting now.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? That was good, Andrew. Thank you for that. Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking about the whole section there is good because it kind of puts perspective upon what Jesus is meaning by prayer. Obviously, the last part of that section, he teaches us to pray like this. But he starts out in verse 5, but when you pray, you should not be as the hypocrites, obviously talking about the religious leaders or the of their day or whatever. But I think more than, well, I just let that set for a second. But then in verse 6, he says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thine inner chamber, and having shut the door, pray to the Father who is in secret. And what that section right there in that verse implies is that in your inner chamber, shut the door. In other words, separate yourself from everything and be alone with him. And that place of secret intimacy, where you are depending upon receiving from him and speaking with him, not limited or bound or influenced by any external source, but being quiet and being one-on-one with God, one-on-one. In other words, it's me and you, and I need to connect, you know, I need to connect. And I'm coming here to connect. Because, you know, there's many different types of prayer in the scripture. But there's the prayer of faith, there's commanding demons, and there's standing in the name of Jesus and speaking forth, and there's laying hands on the sick and praying, and commanding certain things. There's prayers of battle, prayers of warfare, pulling down strongholds. There's all kind. There's as, probably as many types of prayer as there are types of people, or conditions in our life, or whatever. But I think what this is speaking to me in thy inner chamber, this is making a connection, making the connection with our Father. And of course, that connection, he that hears in secret will provide in secret what we need and what we ask. But I think, in my opinion, what Jesus is saying here is that a part of what he's saying here, because he starts off, don't be like the hypocrites. And then in verse 7, he says, and in praying, don't use vain repetitions as the Gentiles do. And what I believe what he's speaking here, he's trying to make a contrast between what he came to bring in, and that is our new covenant relationship with God. And so, if I'm just going to pop back over as a reminder in Jeremiah, because this new covenant relationship that we have with God, with our Father, is as promised to Abraham, that was the giving of the Holy Spirit, and not only the giving of the Holy Spirit, but this new covenant relationship now of receiving, being baptized into Jesus and receiving his Spirit within us is the transition from an old covenant relationship or environment, where in the old covenant they were limited to a God with us perspective, God being with us, and our prayers are that God out there, we need to bring you into our situation and bring you in, and to conquer our enemies, and all of our prayers were, up to you to bring that which is without our experience, into our circumstances. And Jesus, I think, is elucidating here the transition of relationship from the old, that old God with us relationship, to God in us relationship. And therefore, we, by receiving the Holy Spirit, enliven that experience, I guess you might say. In Jeremiah 31:31, God was saying through Jeremiah, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord." There was, I had this relationship with them, but that relationship was mostly an external relationship, and I had to physically take and lead and pull and them. But this is the covenant, verse 33, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward hearts. I'll put my law, originally, or I guess originally I always thought, the Lord has put his law in me, meaning, inside me I have the Ten Commandments and I have all these laws, that are in there, but obviously he doesn't mean that he's putting these laws so that I, if I'm being tempted, I can go through the filing cabinet in my brain or in my heart, and I can say, okay, no, that's a violation. No, oh, there it is. That's the one. I want to believe this one. Hang on to that one. Okay, Lord, I'm going to hang on to this one right here, and we're going to fight our way through. No, that law that he put in our heart, in our inward parts, is the author that dictated those laws to Moses and wrote them down on tables of stone. It was his spirit who gave them those laws, but he has given us his spirit within us, and the lawgiver resides within us in our inward parts, and in their heart they will write it. And as we listen to the Lord, guided by his spirit, which we have received, he takes us through in our steps of obedience and compliance with his word, and he writes that word within us. Not only is it dwelling in there, but he brings it out and he writes it on our heart as we walk with him through these experiences and circumstances of life. And the result of that, obviously, he says, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And there is when I first saw that and got to thinking about it, there was a perspective change. I know within me that said, I am experiencing the reality and the truth of this word because it is working within me and I can see it working and I can talk to the Lord about it working within me and I can see the cause and effects within myself. And as this is happening, God, especially when He takes me and takes us through certain conditions where we see that His word brings us into victory and gives us He gives us grace to overcome, He becomes more of a God because of the overcoming experience that he forms within me. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. In other words, you can pick any, well, I'm going to say, you can pick churches in the Christian landscape out there, and a great majority of them in their preaching services are preaching the, ways to know the Lord, the 10 steps, do this, do that to know the Lord. This is how you know the Lord, or whatever. But when this new covenant and the Holy Spirit enters in, it brings it, the resultant effect is that those who have received the Spirit have an awareness and they know Him. And it is they know him because he is within us, to various different degrees, but he is in us according to his word. So when one is, and I only say this because there are a great majority of the Christian realm, shall we say, in the world today, that are a new covenant church, shall we say. I mean, they're not, they're not, what am I trying to say? They're not, Israelis or Jewish or that sort of thing. They're Christian churches. But they are still dwelling in the perspective of an old covenant relationship with God. Excuse me. And in doing so, that leaves us into a place where we pray like the old covenant people did. I'm sorry, I'm stretching this out, but in vain repetitions or in reading our these prayers or liturgies or whatever it is, there's a garb there that they are dwelling in some form or another, in order to get God to show up. That God that is without, need to bring him into my circumstances, etc. And so, anyway, I guess I'm just catching that aspect of this in verse 6 there, in Matthew 6:6, where he's saying, come into that inner chamber, shut the door, be intimate with your Father, and be real, be one-on-one, and expect that communication. So I don't know. I'll stop there. It's just kind of what I was thinking.
Now, there, I did it. All right. Thank you, Pat. Anybody else? How many of you know what religious praying is? I've experienced it. Yeah, we probably all have. We probably all have. It's praying just because it seems like the thing to do, doesn't it? Not believing anything, just praying. And if you look in Acts 12, it's when James had been killed and Herod proceeded to take Peter also. And it says in Acts 12:5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made earnestly of the church unto God for him. And you'll find that the whole church was praying, but it must have been a religious praying. Because when the angel let Peter out, he went to the house of John's mother, where many were praying. What happened? When he knocked at the door of the gate, a maid came to answer, named Rhoda. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for joy. She was, man, praise God, Peter's here. And she ran and told that Peter stood outside at the gate. What happened? What did they tell her? Are you crazy, woman? You're mad, I told her. But she kept telling, no, it's Peter. I'm telling you, it's Peter. No, that's Peter's angel. Get on out of here. That's what it was. But Peter continued beating on the door. And when he opened, they saw him and were amazed. They didn't even believe what they had prayed, did they? It was just a relief. How many times have we all done that? I'm not going to say that I've done it, but I can tell you that I've done it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I believe with you. Lord, heal them, save them, do all this stuff, and then go on. And when you find out that they were healed and delivered, you really, oh my goodness, instead of saying, yep, I knew it was. We've been confessing it. Praise God, he's healed, delivered, or set free, and they got the money, they got this, they got whatever it was. Instead, sometimes we act like, what? Is that right? That it's... It should be an everyday occurrence when we pray and we believe what we pray that it's going to come to pass, it's going to happen. And when it does happen, just well, it's a matter of fact thing. Well, of course it happened. And we ought to be confessing it and thanking God for it every day instead of being amazed when it does happen. They were raised from the dead. Yeah, we prayed the prayer of faith. Bless God, they had to come up. And that's what God wants us to, rather than just pray something to shut somebody up or to try to make them feel better, you know, that kind of thing. When we pray the prayer of faith to believe for that we are, that's going to happen. That's the way we ought to be. And when it does happen, don't be amazed. Just say, yep, that's what we prayed. Praise God. And that's what we're beginning to do around here. We just know it's going to happen. We pray, bless God, it's going to happen. That's what God wants. That's the prayer of faith right there. Okay, Julie, go ahead. I hope that made some sense.
Yeah, that made some sense. I was thinking, you know, when you were talking about that in Acts with Peter, you know, I'm sure that however many people were in that room praying, in that house, in Mary's house, Mary, this mother of John there. I'm sure they were praying. It didn't say earnestly, but I bet they were praying earnestly because Herod was going to kill him, you know? And so I'm sure that they were, maybe they were, maybe not unbelieving, but shocked and like, wow, God really answered, you know? And, you know, like you said, that maybe just we're praying, and we all have to come to that place and understanding and praying in faith and being expectant, you know? When you pray, be expectant for the answer because God's going to do it, you know? And I guess we all have to learn to come to that place when we pray. It's like, no, this is what I prayed, and that's what, you know, and that's overcoming the mind of the flesh, isn't it? That doubt and double-mindedness. And no, this is what I prayed, and this is what I asked for. And just standing, and whether it's for your own, you know, bodily need, you know, health-wise, or provision, or for God to, you know, has shown you something he's going to do, and it hasn't manifested yet in the natural. It's like, but God said. And it's like, no, this is what I'm believing, and just having to keep casting down the lies of the enemy, you know. But you wonder, you know, Peter was probably wondering too, you know, what's going to happen to me while I'm in prison here, you know. And then the angel shows up, and did he know it was an angel right away? I don't know, but you know, the chains fell off and all that, and he walked out with the angel, but it wasn't as it's. And when he went past the first and second guard, came to the iron gate, and then the angel departed. And when Peter was come to himself, you know, and he's like, okay, he's like, he's really awake, and he got it. It's like, I just got delivered supernaturally, you know. He was part of a miracle. God did a miracle for him. You know, he knew of a truth. He says, I knew of a truth that the Lord has sent forth his angel and delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews, you know. So praise God, we have all these examples, and we should be building up our faith with this kind of stuff. Like, no, God, you're right, and you don't lie, and you said it, and I'm going to put my faith on what you say and not what I feel. Not what I feel, not what it looks like, and not all these vain thoughts and imaginations, because it's all temporal. God will not fail us, and it's thank you, Lord. We're a work in progress, you know, and we're all going to get there. Praise the Lord.
And another thing during that period of time of your believing God for it, it's already done. Just believe it's already done. It's already done. It was done 2,000 years ago. He told us in Isaiah 53, he told us 1 Peter 2:24, it's already been done. All we have to do is believe. Are you healed? Yeah. Ain't you read the Word of God? Glory to God, I'm healed. And that's the way we got to be. Yeah. Okay, Debbie, go ahead.
Okay, well, I have a question about something I heard the Lord speak to me earlier. I've been reading in Brother Yun's book, The Heavenly Man, and wow, the prayers are
Go.
answered by him.
Who is it?
Brother Yun, The Heavenly Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was reading that, and all that God did, and the prayers he answered for him, and all those that prayed for him. But anyway, I was meditating on all that, and just like, oh wow, Lord, just. I was meditating about and asking about helping us in our prayers and our praying. And what I heard was it is time to lose yourselves in vigorous prayer and preparation for what is coming. And so in all this, what you all share, and I'm wondering about, did I really hear the word vigorous? Well, I thought I did. I thought maybe it could be earnest, like you used, Julie, the word earnest, or expectation, praying expectantly. And because there's many things to pray for anyway. I'm not meaning repetitiously, but just as he wants us to lose ourselves in praying and vigorously. I mean, to don't stop. This is an important time to keep on praying in a way vigorously, but yet to not make it be like we're talking about tonight, not vain, repetitiously, you know. So I think that's what he really. I think I'm right with that word vigorous. What do you all think? I'm wondering.
What is vigorous? Vigorously.
That's
That
easy for
word.
you
I
to
can't
say.
say. Yeah, why can't I say it? Vigorously. I got it.
Vigorously.
Vigorously. What does it mean? You know, what's your definition of vigorously?
Well, yes, the vigor, if someone is vigorous, they're like energetic. So not slothful in prayer. But you're energetic in prayer. Vigorous does mean I would think it means like energy,
Great expectation.
energetic. I like the expectation part, yeah. And
Yeah, it's earnest expectation. We just know it's going to, because when we pray, bless God, it's going to happen.
yes.
That's what she's talking about. In my opinion, I think that's what she's talking about.
This
No.
I just looked it up. It just says strong and healthy, robust,
Oh, well, that's good. That's
growing
faith,
or
like
spreading rapidly,
faith. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
with characteristic but or done with force and energy, active,
That's good.
effective, forceful,
Our faith is to be
effective.
active in our prayers.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like mental, physical, emotional strength. So I would say spiritual strength, you know, it comes from the
Yeah.
Lord. Strong, robust, robust,
Yeah.
powerful. Yeah. Well,
How many of you know that prayer alone doesn't bring deliverance? It's prayer of
right.
faith that brings deliverance. The prayer of faith, you got to have faith to believe. You can't just sit there and spout something out and without faith and believe it's going to happen. You have to have that faith. This is exactly what we're talking about, what Deborah's talking about there. That's awesome. That, yeah, get in there and know when you pray, it's going to happen, bless God. You're going to get what you're praying for. Lord, I thank you for the wisdom that you are pouring out on me. I thank you for discernment that you're pouring out on me. I thank you, Lord, that all the gifts that you've given us out of the Holy Spirit are going to be evident when our walk in this days to come. And I praise you for that, Father. You know, those kind of prayers there, know that it's going to happen. And I guarantee you, you'll be walking in it. Yeah. Julie, if go ahead. Pastor been having his hand up, but go ahead.
I just want to quickly say that I guess because of what Debbie has just shared and Andrew's earlier confirmation that what he was reading or listening to at the time you posted those scriptures is just like a confirmation.
Yeah, it was. I'm glad to hear it too, because I always like confirmation on the things we talk about up here. It's awesome. Okay, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I was when Debbie was talking about that forceful or whatever. Of course, the first thing that came into my mind was that until John. From John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So there's a certain aspect of that energy, I guess you might say. But if you look at in James 5:14, where they're talking about if there's any sick, called it's calling the elders, that sort of thing. Any sick among you, let him call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I had kind of that experience well, let me just say, I think from what I am seeing is that the Lord is saying in that the effectual, fervent, forceful, proactive prayer of the righteous man availeth much. And I guess that I have in that a sense of holding on and saying, no, this is the way it's going to be. This is what God says. This is the way it's going to be. I'm taking this and that's it. This is what's going to happen. Make it happen. This is it. That type of forceful, effectual, that fervency, that inner anxious, I'm standing on God's side and I'm not taking no for an answer type thing. And I don't know that this is specifically meaning focus towards God. In other words, this prayer, this fervency, focus towards God, saying, God, you get that thing down here right now, or whatever. I don't think so, because God has already provided everything we need.
Yep.
That forceful, effectual prayer is not a prayer of, in my opinion, is not a prayer of request. It's a prayer of battle, doing battle with the devil, saying, no, you're not having this. You're not, this is not yours. This is what God's word says. You can't have it. I'm taking it back right now. Give it up. That sort of thing is, I guess, what I'm thinking, that, that provision dwells in the heavenly, dwells in the heavenly kingdom, not the kingdom of this earth, not the jurisdiction of this earthly plane. It dwells in a higher jurisdiction, and we have to take it by force, take it away from the devil by force, and bring it here into this jurisdiction, down here where we can see it. So I think, that's, I don't know, it's kind of what I'm thinking there. Anyway.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And something else that's required of us in our faith is patience. Hebrews 10:36, for ye have need of patience, that having done the will of God, that you may receive the promise. We got to have patience to endure to the end, as we've talked about many times. Go ahead, Andrew. I thought you had your hand up.
Where, yeah, I did. Where it says here, but in praying, use not vain repetitions as the Gentiles. I have to say this because we can get really goofy sometimes. I'm not saying it for anyone here, just in case anyone's listening to this. At this time in history, who would be the Gentiles? Who would the Gentiles be praying to anyway? It wouldn't be the God of heaven. So I'm just saying that, because some people pray and they never get an answer to anything all their lives, And they do get very excited when they do have an answer, And because most of us are all Gentiles, but we're spiritual Jews. So I thought I'd just throw that in just in case.
Amen. I've said this before, and I got it from Kerr Blake, is the only hindrance to answering our getting our prayers answered is us. That's it. We give up too quickly, too easily. I remember the story about the lady that was praying for her husband. I think I mentioned it the last time. She didn't give up. She wouldn't let him know. You ain't taking my husband out of here. He did. You got to have that kind of dogmatic faith to stay and believe that he finally came back. And I liked the not flippancy, but the absolute faith of the preacher when his son came in drunk. God, looks like you got a problem. And God fixed it. The boy never drank again because he gave it to God. And that's how he wants us to do. He wants us to be completely dependent upon him, but using the tools that he's given us to bring about those things. And like somebody said a while ago, this time coming up on us is we're going to need every tool that we've got to help the people out there. Every tool that God's given us, and he's given us every tool necessary to bring about this revival and to show people God's power and his authority. Knowing what God's will is a real key to to our prayers. Knowing what his will is. A lot of people don't believe God, a lot of religions in America don't even believe that God heals anymore. Don't believe this, don't believe that. They got all the don'ts that God don't. That's the don't church. But we've already been taught about faith, we've already been taught about the thing, and we've already seen too much to not believe that God will do what he says he'll do. How would Jesus pray if he were here on these situations? He never did stand and sit there and pray and pray and pray and pray. Just stand up there, boy, and be healed in Jesus' name. He didn't say in Jesus' name, but that's something that's brought into us, you know. Boy, get up and be healed. Pick up your bed and go on home. And he's just saying, everybody here is going to be healed in Jesus. Well, everybody's going to be healed. Y'all are healed. And that's what he'd do. And they would be healed. Well, he's given us the same authority. Why? Because he lives in us. He walks with, I tell you, every time I go walking, I say, Jesus, you there? He say, you know why I'm here. And that's the attitude we ought to have, is Jesus is with us. He hears everything we do. He sees everything we do. He hears everything that we say. And he's going to answer those prayers when the time. Listen, you put it in you, he'll see it's done. I trust him implicitly. Anybody else on this vain repetition stuff? Don't get me wrong. Like I said when I first started, I believe that sometimes that you can repeat your prayers. You know, you go and you lose something or something, and you just pray it again. Get back up on track and start believing in. But when if you got to confess out of your mouth every day what you've prayed, I thank you, Lord, that my family is saved. Glory to God. I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. I thank you, Lord, that everybody in the fellowship is going to be in the bride. I thank you, Father, that there's going to be a lot of man-childs coming out of this group. I thank you, Lord, that, you know, you just keep on and on and on. I thank you, Lord, that everybody's healed that needs healing. I thank you, Lord, that not only are we healed, we walk in divine health. Glory to God. We start confessing those things. Remember quantum faith? That was the most amazing thing to me to understand what faith was. It's what you speak, it's what you're going to get. I told someone yesterday, I said, you could sit there and speak that you're not this and you're not that and da 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 da. Guess what? That's exactly what you're going to get. And if you speak contrary to what you want, that's what you're going to get. So we have to confess along with our prayers of what you want. Speak it every day. I am a new creation in Christ, glory to God. I have the mind of Christ. I walk in divine health. Jesus never got sick, did he? Not the best of my knowledge, he didn't. And we are to bring the kingdom of heaven down here on earth. And that's what we're fixing to, that's what the world is fixing to see. Glory to God. Because we're going to do it. This bunch and many others are going to be doing that. And I believe it with all my heart. All right, anyone else on prayer? The vain repetition part is just praying to hear somebody hear you pray. That's just, I've heard it too many times. I've done it myself, you know, sometimes I caught myself doing it. I'm not happy about it. I'm not proud about it. But after studying this about prayer and stuff this week, I'm going to quit that. I'm going to start believing everything I pray is going to happen. Anybody else not going to do that? Raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand. Don't do that. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Julie.
On verse 6, where it says, when you pray, to enter into thy inner chamber, and having shut the door, pray to the Father who is in secret, and the Father who sees in secret shall recompense thee. In other words, to me, that's just saying when we see something, or we recognize something that, you know, somebody needs prayer for that they may not understand, or whatever that they need prayer for, because we don't always see things that, you know, it is going into our prayer closet and making intercessions for people because the Lord's shown you something, you know, either a vision or a dream, or, you know, or a just a, you know, in conversation with somebody that you see something that they need your prayers for. And so it's not to be a show for show, like Michael was saying, they want to be seen or heard or whatever. Because what the verse before that, it was saying, be not like as the hypocrites. I don't know if you guys have ever searched what that word hypocrites means. You ever
Tell
looked it
us.
up? What that means is, hold on, I'm gonna get it right, so I'm gonna read it, okay? Very revealing. Come on, come on, come on. There we go. The Greek word there, let's see, it's an actor under an assumption character, a stage player, a dissembler. That's what a hypocrite is. It's an actor. It's they're playing. They just want to be seen, you know. I always thought that was an interesting
Yeah.
definition for the hypocrites, what the Lord was saying, don't be like the hypocrites. You know, they're just, it's so that's so contrary to like praying and, you know, in faith and sincerity. It's from your heart. So that's, I think, why he was making that comparison where go into your closet and be not seen. Yeah, amen.
Yeah, amen. Well, just because you believe in prayer, then prayer ought to work for you. But you could say this also. I believe that I'm an NFL quarterback, and I ought to be able to be an NFL quarterback. But just because you believe that, don't mean that you're going to go out there and get and not get just completely annihilated by the opposite team. You might even get the ball in your hand before somebody kills you. But what makes us think the Word of God is any different? We're going to have to operate in the Word accurately, right? We're going to have the Word in us in order to believe it. Here, let me just sum it up a little bit. Prayer is not telling God the problem. Whatever you desire is what you should pray, not the problem. You want to pray the answer. Forget the problem. Grab a hold of the answer and make your prayer and your confession of faith right there. Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking about, the obviously this don't pray in vain repetition, and that being mainly, like the heathen or like the Gentiles do that, Andrew brought out, but because those groups of those religions, they're into, say, chanting, chanting certain, words, stanzas, or whatever. But how many times have you you've gone into a church, say a church service, and you've heard, okay, let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And go down the whole litany. What are they doing? They're praying a vain repetition. So even what Jesus told us to do, pray in this manner, and he uses this example for us to be aware and understand and come from that perspective, starting with God our Father. His name is hallowed, is the highest, is supreme, is sovereign, etc., whatever. Come from that perspective. Yet again, there's that temptation in the say the church of today or whatever, is to use that, see that, and say, okay, and this is the law. I'm going to make this law. I'm going to pray this prayer. We're going to recite this vain repetition here, without really it being within you or within them, etc. But anyway, I just was making that connection.
Amen. Good connection. Go ahead, Missy.
Talking about what a hypocrite is I had read that before, Julie. And yeah, that's it is very eye-opening, but to go along with that, what I always thought too is my own like personal definition of it, how I would say it would be pretending to be something you're not. And being two-faced, that's what I always considered, in my terminology. So, but yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, how many of you got something out of this tonight? I do. Praise the Lord. I think it'll help everybody. And I hope it helps everybody out there listening to also. And I want to thank everybody for coming in and giving your thoughts on it. It's been good tonight. I really enjoyed it. All right. Anybody got a prayer request before we leave out? And this is not going to be okay. We're going to believe now. We're going to believe. You understand? Go ahead, Julie.
I wanted to ask you to pray for us that everything that we talked about and that
Okay.
just Debbie's word about being
All
vigorously praying and earnest about our prayers and all that that meant that we would be able to do it and that we would be able to be consistent in it.
right. Yeah, amen. All right. Father God, we just lift up everybody in this fellowship and those that are listening out there. We praise you, Father, for giving each and every one of us the amount of faith that we need. You said it, the faith the size of a mustard seed is big enough to move a mountain. And I thank you, Lord, that everybody that's listening has already gotten that kind of faith. And all they have to do is just trust you and do what was talked about tonight, Lord. And that is to confess it after we pray, and to believe and to stand on it. And we praise you for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that everybody here has that gift of faith in them already. And I praise you, and I thank you, Lord, that we're all going to believe that we're trusting God in His promises. When we pray, we know that they're going to be answered in Jesus' name. And I know that my prayer is going to be answered for everybody here. And they're going, all we've got to do is just receive it. And I thank you, Lord, for filling us with your Holy Spirit every morning, for us to remember to wake up and say, fill me, Lord, for the day's Holy Spirit, because you're going to be needed in the days to come. Not only that, Lord, I thank you for allowing the gifts to be in operation too. And I praise you for that. But most importantly, Lord, we thank you that this anointing for the faith is already here. And we praise you for it, Father. We've already seen it happen. Many times we've seen it happen already, and we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for everybody here, to giving us the ability to understand that when we pray, it's happening already. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And one other thing, Lord, we thank you for placing it in us to confess that it's already done every day, and to thank you and praise you for it. Because you're going to get the glory. It's nothing that we do other than to believe. And I thank you for it, Father. Amen. Glory to God. All right, saints, good night. We'll see you later. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Missy. Did you have your hand up, or are you just waving? I can't ever tell when it comes to you.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I just want to praise and thank the Lord that I'm healed and delivered in
Amen.
Jesus'
Thank you,
name.
Jesus.
Thank you,
Yes.
Lord. Praise you,
Thank you,
Jesus.
Lord, for and
All
the
pain's
knots are
gone.
gone and
Thank you,
all pain
Lord.
is gone. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I thank you, Lord, that everybody's going to get a good night's sleep tonight too, and wake up fully energized and supernaturally ready to go. In Jesus' name. Good night, folks.